We left off yesterday at the Mishnah on Daf Mem Amid Beis toward the bottom of the page. The Mishnah itself, when you read the Mishnah, we're not really going to be able to understand what the Mishnah is talking about. The Gemara immediately upon the conclusion of the Mishnah is going to provide two different approaches to understand the Mishnah. So we'll just read through the words and then we'll wait for the Gemara to really try to understand. The Mishnah is written in a very vague way, and we'll wait for the Gemara to try to really understand what the Mishnah is talking about. Says the Mishnah, Eved Sha'aso Rabo Apotiki La'acherim. Let's say you have an Eved whose master made him an Apotiki. Now, Apotiki means that Apotiki could mean two things, but Apotiki, the basic idea of Apotiki is that you're telling somebody who you owe money to that when you come to collect your money, you can collect from this. This can be your source of collection. So you take the Eved and you say, look, I owe you money. When you want to collect your money, here, this Eved is going to be, is here for you to collect. Now, there are two types of apotiki. As I alluded to, there's apotiki stam and apotiki mufurash. Right? Sometimes an apotiki is, you can collect from this or from other things. But if I don't have anything else, don't worry, you always have this to collect from. And sometimes it's, you can collect from this and from nothing else. This is the only part of my nechasim that's meshubah to you. Exactly which type of apotiki are we referring to over here? So Rashi says, im lo efra lachovcha mimakom acher, if I don't give you your payment from somewhere else, then this should be your source of payment. Sounds like everything else is still an option, that this is an apotiki stam, not an apotiki mefurish. But either way, the case of the Mishnah is, you make the Eved an apotiki, and then you're Meshachra the Eved. So Ruvain owes Shimon money, Shimon is relying on the fact that he's going to be able to collect the Eved, and then he's Meshachra the Eved. Notice I said he, because the Gemara is going to discuss who was Meshachra the Eved. So Shuras Adin, Eina Eved Chayav Klum. So Meikar Adin, the Eved isn't obligated in anything. But in order to, for the consideration of Tikkun Olam, we force his master, and the master frees him, the Kosev Shtar Al Damav. And the Eved writes a Shtar for his value. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Einu Kosev El Meshachrer. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, the Eved shouldn't be the one writing the Shtar for his value. Rather, the one who freed him should be the one writing the Shtar for his value. So as I said, we have no clue what's going on in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, approach number one to the Mishnah. Eved Shaso Rabba B'tikiv Shichro. First things first, Mi Shichro. Who freed this Eved? Right. Well, the only part we know so far is Reuven owed Shimon money, and Reuven made the Eved, his own Eved, an apotiki to pay Shimon back. Who freed the Eved? Amar Rav, Rabu Rishon. So Rav says, Reuven, who was the owner of the Eved, obviously, or would seem obvious, freed the Eved. So Shura said, "Dinein Eved Chayev Klum." And it's, therefore, the Mishnah continues. May Ikra Din, the Eved isn't Chayev anything. What does that mean? Le Rabo Sheni. May Ikra Din, the Eved never goes to the second master because he's already been freed. Kidarava Dam Rava Hekdash Chavis Shukram Rafkiyim Viday Shibud. Even though Shimon had a Shibud on that Eved, Shimon had rights to that Eved prior to Reuven having freed him, but we have a rule that when you are Meshachrer and Eved, it removes any Shibudim. There are three things that remove Shibudim: if something becomes Hegdish, if something becomes Chameit, or if you are Meshachrer the Eved. So it removes any sort of Shibudim. The Rishonim asked, there are other things that also remove Shibudim that somehow didn't make it onto the list, like if you use something as Tachrichim for a mace, it also removes Shibudim, or Avodah Zarah, something becomes an Avodah Zarah, it also removes Shibudim. Okay, but for whatever reason, Rishonim give various Terutzim, either it's not the other things aren't Mefurish and Brisos and Mishnayos, or in some way they're all included in these three general categories, but for the sake of our Gemara, we're only interested in the Shichrur. That Shichrur removes the Shibud, and therefore this Eved is no longer, Shimon no longer has rights to this Eved. Elam ibn Tikkun HaOlam, however, because of Tikkun HaOlam, where there was a concern, Shami Yimtzenu B'Shuk, Shimon might run into that Eved in the Shuk one day, V'yomer lo Avdiyata, and he'll tell him, hey, you're my Eved. So Kofnes Rabu Sheni Va'osa Oso Ben Charin. So in order to avoid that uncomfortable situation, we force Shimon to write a Mishtar Shechrur, even though Shimon wasn't really his master, and Shimon never really owned him, but because we're concerned that Shimon is going to cause a ruckus, he's going to cause trouble by making claims on the Eved at some later date, we make Shimon write a Mishtar Shechrur so that there can always be evidence that he is not Shimon's Eved. What's going to be the problem if he says, Avdi Ata, if he tells him that you're my Eved? So Rashi says, V'yotzi Laz Albanav, and it's going to be Motzi Laz on the Eved's children, that his children are of Adam, when in fact his children are not of Adam, his children are B'nai Chorin. Fract Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Gilyan Hashas, that's the concern. The concern is that if Shimon claims, you're my Eved, it's going to cause a laws for his children. Fract Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Gilyan Hashas, Kashali, Hakaimulan de Eved Abal Bas Yisrael, Havlad Kasher. We pass that an Eved Abal Bas Yisrael, the Vlad is going to be Kasher anyway. El de la Harbe Poskim, Pogum l'kuhuna. According to many poskim, he's pogum l'kuhuna. Ulmay nakad Rashi banav v'lo kipshuto diotzi laz alav shapas alav abekal du evet. Why would Rashi focus on the problem it's going to cause for his children? What about the problem it's going to cause for him? If Shimon is motzi laz on him, that he's an evet, so he's pas alav abekal. So that causes bigger problems for him than it does for his children. Why doesn't Rashi focus on the effect it's going to have on him? Umay uma banav mimenu. Why are his children any more of a focus than himself? It's a good kasha. I don't know. I didn't see any terutzim to the kasha. But anyway, the point is, the pshat in the Mishnah back in the Gemara is that according to the Tanakhama, we forced the Rabbi Sheni to make him Ben Chorin, and then back in the second line, the Kosev Eved Shtar Al Damav, and then the Eved writes a Shtar to reimburse the guy for his value, meaning even though the Eved didn't do anything wrong, the Eved is going to reimburse for the second guy who's losing out. He's going to reimburse Shimon who's losing out for his value, because that was the value that was supposed to be Meshubah to Shimon. And over the course of time, the Eved will pay back Shimon his own value. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Eina Eved Kosev El Meshachar Kosev. And then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes along and says, what are you talking about? Why should the Eved have to reimburse him? Reuven is the one that owed Shimon the money. Reuven is the one that was Meshachar the Eved. Let Reuven reimburse Shimon. Why does that have to be the Eved's problem? Okay, b'maykam ifgi, what's the machlokas over here between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel? B'mazik shibudu shel chaver kamifgi. They're arguing about a case where someone is mazik a shibud that belongs to someone else. Meaning, Shimon has a shibud on the Eved, Reuven was mazik that shibud by going ahead and freeing the Eved. Demar savar chayiv, umar savar pater. So the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds if you're mazik someone else's shibud, you have to pay. And since the Reuven was the one that was mazik the shibud by freeing the Eved, Reuven has to pay. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, you're mazik shibud, and the Tanakhama says, mazik shibudu shel chavero, you're pater, and therefore the Eved is going to be the one that's left carrying the bag, that's left holding the bag. He's going to be the one that's going to have to pay. It marnami, a mazik shibud. And in fact, we've said it explicitly that Mazik Shibudu Shel Chavero is the subject of the Machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ula Amar Mishech Rotz. That was one approach to the Mishnah. Reuven owed Shimon money, Reuven Zeved was an apotiki, and Reuven went and freed his slave. Right? That was one approach to the Mishnah. Second approach to the Mishnah? No. Who freed the slave? Rabbo Sheni. Shimon wrote a Shtar Shechrur on the slave. So sure, Sadin ain't ever chayv klum b'mitzvos. Technically, that means nothing, because the Eved doesn't belong to Shimon yet. The Eved still belongs to Reuven. So Shimon was freeing a slave that wasn't his, so obviously that doesn't do anything, that doesn't mean anything. So therefore, technically, may Ikar Adin, the Eved is not chayiv in mitzvos at all. He does not become a Ben Chorin, he does not become a full-fledged Jew at that point. But because people are going to hear that he was made a Ben Chorin, people aren't going to know who his real owner was. They're just going to know that someone who could have been a slave owner freed this guy. So they're going to know that he was, that they're going to think that the Eved is a Ben Chorin. They're going to think that the Eved is a full-fledged Jew. So because that's going to be the perception on the street, so Kofinus Rabbo Rishon Va'os also Ben Chorin. We force Reuven to go and free the slave and make him a Ben Chorin. V'kosev shtar al damav, and the Eved writes a shtar for his value. What are we talking about? He writes a shtar for his value. He writes a shtar for the difference between his value and the amount of money that Reuven owed Shimon. Meaning, let's say Reuven owed Shimon $100, the Eved's worth $125. So in terms of the first $100, so you know what? That's Shimon's fault. Shimon should have caused this whole problem and freed him. So Reuven's not going to have to worry about that. The Eved's not going to have to worry about that. Shimon's never going to see that money. In terms of the extra $25, though, that Shimon ended up costing Reuven an extra $25 because Shimon freed the Eved and that forced Reuven to write a Shtar Shichur on the Eved. So Reuven lost the extra $25. For that, the Eved's going to have to write a Shtar to Reuven to pay him back those extra $25 over time. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Einu Kosev Elam Shachra Kosev. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, what did the Eved do? He's an innocent victim over here. Why should he be the one to write it? Let Shimon, who initially was owed $100 by Reuven, let him write a shtar to pay Reuven $25. Meaning, forget his $100, that's done, because he freed the Eved, and let him write an extra $25 to pay back Reuven for the value that the Eved was worth, more than the original chov. So b'maykumifli, what's the source of the machlokas? What's the basis of the machlokas between the Tanakam and Shimon ben Gamliel according to this understanding of the Mishnah? Behezek she'enu nikar kumifli, marsav v'shmei hezek, marsav v'lo shmei hezek. They're arguing about hezek she'enu nikar. Sometimes you do damage to somebody and it's very evident that you did damage. You take a baseball bat and you go and you smash up his car, so it's a very obvious damage. And sometimes you do damage and it's not so evident. You go to his truma with a little rodent and you put it on the truma and you're metame the truma, so it looks the same. It seems the same, it smells the same, and everything else, everything is the same about it, except it's tameh. So hezek she'enu nikar is the discussion. Is one going to be chayiv for hezek she'enu nikar? Now, Tosos over here points out that the Gemara seems to assume over here that it's a machlokas whether hezek she'enu nikar, not just seems to assume, states explicitly that it's a machlokas whether hezek she'enu nikar is called hezek or not. And Tosos just points out you have to say there are different levels of hezek she'enu nikar. There's really not nikar, and there's a little bit not nikar, because Tosos says we're going to have in 2 weeks from now, less than 2 weeks from now, another Gemara. It says v'tzarech lomer d'hai hezek she'enu nikar chashiv nikar tfei me'ahu d'perek anizak, and you have to say that our hezek she'enu nikar is still a little more recognizable damage than the damage going to be that we are going to discuss on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, when you talk about a Kohen who was mefagel a karban, a Kohen who caused the karban to become pigel, because the hasam kaimel and the lo shmei hezek, because over there we paskin that it's not called hezek. And over here we pass on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that it is called hezek. So which is it? Is hezek sheinu nikar lav shmei hezek, or is it shmei hezek? Tosa says it depends what kind of hezek sheinu nikar you're talking about. If you're talking about a very unrecognizable damage, then we say it's lav shmei hezek. It's not called damage. If you're talking about a somewhat unrecognizable damage, then it is shmei hezek. Ula my time alomer karav. Why didn't Ula want to say Rav's pshat in the Mishnah, namely that the when we say that someone freed the Eved, it was his real owner, it was Reuven who freed him. So Amar lecha Sheni Rabo Karisale. Ula, so he'll tell you Sheni Rabo Karisale. Can you really refer to the second guy as Rabo? It doesn't make any sense. V'rav my time lo amar k'ula, and why didn't Rav want to say like Ula? Amar lecha sheni mishachra karisale? Can you really say the second guy was the one who freed him? What do you mean? He didn't really do anything. He pretended to free him, according to your pshat, but he's not really the owner to have the ability to free him. So either each one thought that there was a word in the Mishnah that didn't fit with the other. Itmar. Ha'osa sadehu apotiki la'acher. Our Mishnah discussed if you made an eved an apotiki. What if you made your field an apotiki to pay someone back? V'shatfa nahar, and then the field became flooded. So Amishfir Na'a, it's an interesting name. It's not a very yeshivish nickname. Amishfir Na'a, Ami the good-looking guy. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eino gova mishar nechasim. That he said that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that you can't go and collect from other nechasim. Your apotiki was flooded? Too bad, you lost out. That was your only opportunity at collection. and now it's gone. Vavua de Shmuel Amar Gov Mishar Nechasim. But Vavua de Shmuel holds you could still collect from other places. You just can't collect from the Sapatiki anymore because it's destroyed. So now you go to other places to collect, to other properties that you can collect from. Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Mishum Dami Shir Nahu Amar Shmaita Delo Shapiron. I don't understand what, because he's a good looking guy, he has to say such terrible Torahs. Everything what he says is so not so decidedly not beautiful. He says the only way that Amishirna makes any sense is if the deal originally was that this was not an apotiki stam, but it was an apotiki mefurash. It was not an apotiki where you say, look, you can collect from anything, but you always have this as a guarantee. This field is your apotiki that you can always collect from here. Rather, it's a case of apotiki mefurash, where you make the deal originally that you cannot collect from any of my other nechasim. The only thing you're allowed to collect from is this apotiki. So if that was the deal, then Amishvirna makes a lot of sense, right? Because then he's saying that if that field gets flooded, sorry, you're out of luck. You can't collect from anything else because that was your only opportunity. Tanya Nami Hachi, Haosa Sadeo Apati. And by the way, according to that, Amishvirna is not even arguing with Avua de Shmuel. Avua de Shmuel is talking about an apotiki stam. Amishvirna is Shapirna is talking about an apotiki mefurash. That they're talking about two different types of apotiki, but they would both agree that if it's an apotiki stam, the guy can still collect from other properties. And if it's an apotiki mefurash, then he cannot collect from other properties. This was his only chance. Tani Nami Achiosa Sadeo Apotiki La'acher V'shatfa Nahar. We have a price that says explicitly, if you make your field an apotiki and it was flooded, Gova Mishar Nechasim, then the person is able to collect from other Nechasim. But V'imamar Lo Lo Yehila Chapiron Elamizu, you tell him you can only collect from this, Eino Gova Mishar Nechasim, you can't collect from anything else. Tanya Idach, Ha'osa Sadeo Apotiki L'Balchov Luxubas Isha Gova Mishar Nechasim. If you make your field an apotiki for a Balchov to collect from, or for a wife to collect her ksuba from, so they can still collect from other nechasim if something happens to that field. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Balchov gova mishar nechasim. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees, says, when it comes to Balchov, you're correct. But Balchov can go and collect from other nechasim. But isha inu gova mishar nechasim, she'in darka shalisha lachzer al bat yedinin. But a woman shouldn't go collect from other nechasim, because it's not the derech of the woman to go around to different bat yedinim fighting out her case. Meaning, Rashi explains, just because it's not the derech, maybe right now she'll say, I want it to be the derech, meaning I'll do it, I want my money back, so I want my ksuba money. So Rashi explains, no, the point is that we try to figure out what the deal was originally. Was the deal originally that she can collect from anything, or was the deal originally, this is your payment and that's it? So because generally people don't like to make women go around to different batei din and fight out all different sorts of dinei Torah, so therefore at the time that they got married, probably the deal was that she should not be able to collect from anything else, because we don't like that women should have to go around to different batei din. It's not lefi kvodam to go around to different batei din to fight out different dinei Torah. Similar to what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rosh writes in Masechta Shavuos in the fourth parak, that nashim yakaros, that isluhudina, that when honorable women have a din Torah, lo mizalzalin lehu lava lebezdin, we're not mizalzal to force them to come to bezdin, el mishadrin la al yidei shliach. They appoint a special person to serve as a shliach on behalf of the Beis Din. They don't force her to actually show up in the Beis Din because it's considered to be beneath her to have to run around schlepping to different batei dinim. Okay, new Mishnah. We refer to this, I believe we alluded to this Mishnah as recently as yesterday. Didn't realize it was a Mishnah on the next daf. Misha chetzi avad v'chetzi ben chorin. You have a situation of a guy who's half slave, half free man. So what do you do with such a person? Ovid is rabbi yom echad v'satzma yom echad divrei Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel says the first suggestion, very simple. On Sundays and Tuesdays and Thursdays, he'll work for himself. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, he'll work for the master. Lav davka, any day, any three and three, right? He'll split his time working for himself and working for his master. Beishami Omrim, Beishami says, that's wonderful, Tikantam is Rabo, you figured it all out for the master. The master has it all cheshbon now, he's going to get half of this guy's time. But Vesatzma lo Tikantam. But what about the guy himself? Who's he going to marry? Just on the Tikantam is Rabo element, the fact that we've declared that it's all good for the master, says the Rashash, not really, because the Rabo the master loses all the vlados. Meaning, normally, when you have an eved, you're able to marry your eved off to somebody, and you're able to take the vlados. You're able to have the children as avadim. Now you lost the ability to be masir shivcha. It's not even like you have half the rights of what a normal master has in an eved, because you don't have half the rights to children. You lost those rights. So the Rashash says, how can you say tikanta misrabo? So the Rashash says, no, the truth is, though, because you have been misakin, in the sense that if you have any other eved, you can still give all your shvachos to that one eved. You don't have to give each eved only one shivcha. So as long as you have another eved somewhere in your possession, you can take all your shvachos and marry him off to the eved. And one eved can impregnate 10 shvachos the same way 10 avadim can impregnate 10 shvachos. So you can have just as many children, just put the eved together with as many shvachos as you're going to want. It doesn't really address the issue so much, though, because what if this eved is genetically superior? He's stronger, he's able to do better work, he manages your property better, and you want avadim, you want little avadim that are going to be more similar to this one than your other eved, or what if you don't have another eved? So it's a little bit difficult, but either way, meaning to the extent that we're able to, you're misakin as rabbo, but vesatzma lo tikantim, so says the Mishnah Vayter, but the eved is still in trouble over here, because lisa shivcha iafshar, he can't marry a shivcha, why not? Shekvar chatzio ben chorin, because he's half ben chorin, and ben chorin is not allowed to marry a shivcha, it's an issue in the Torah. Bas chorin iafshar, he can't marry a bas chorin, because shekvar chatzio eved, because he's half eved. So what do you suggest for this guy? Yibatel. What, he shouldn't marry anyone? The world was created for the sake of Peruvu. It wasn't created to be empty, the Pasuk says. It was created to be populated. So you can't let him just stay unmarried. So in order to solve the problem, what we do is Kofnas Rabavososa ben Chorin, we take the guy who still owns half the Eved, and we force him to free that half that he still owns. V'kosev shtar al chatzidamav, the Eved writes a shtar for the half of his value, the amount that was just freed, and that solves all the problems, and now the Eved is going to be a free man, he's no longer an Eved, he can marry a regular Bas Chorin, live a normal life, and over time he'll pay back the master who was just forced to free him. V'chazur beisil lahoros k'divir beishamai, beisil said that's such a great idea, I didn't think of it in the first place. They still changed their mind and ended up paskening like the Beis Shammai. So there's obviously a lot to discuss on this Mishnah. First of all, the bottom Tosos on Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph asks five separate questions on the problem that's posed in the Mishnah. The problem of the Chatziyev, the Chatzi Ben Chorin, that he has nobody to marry. Frek Tosos first. Vim Tomer Afilu Yochel Isa Shivcha, Ha'eno Mekayim Mekach Piri V'rivya. Frek Tosos, let's say he was able to marry a Shivcha. He still doesn't get the mitzvah of Puruvu. When you marry a Shivcha, the children are Miyuchas after her, not after you. So you're still not going to get the mitzvah approval. We pose the problem as if, you know, if he would be able to marry a shivcha, that would be fine. But he can't even marry a shivcha. Well, it wouldn't be fine. He still wouldn't get puruvu. So says Tosos, nah, but if he was able to marry a shivcha, at least he'd be able to do sheves. Sheves is different than puruvu. Sheves is just seeing to it that you populate the world. It has nothing to do with making a child be miyuchas after you. So at least he'd be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of sheves, and if he were able to be mekayim the mitzvah of Sheves, we wouldn't resort to forcing the master to free him. But because he could do neither Sheves nor Peruvu, that's why we get to forcing the master to free him. Question number two Tosus deals with, and this is the most major of the questions that Tosus deals with, Lesi aseder Peruvu vilitchi lav delo yekadesh. Why don't we say, forget about freeing him. He has a mitzvah sasei of Peruvu, let him get married to a bas chorin, let the mitzvah sasei of Peruvu push off the lo sasei of lo yekadesh. What was our whole problem? That marrying a bas chorin is aser. Yeah, but dasei docha lo sasei. Doing Peruvu is a mitzvah. So the mitzvah of Peruvu should be docha lo sasei. Why do you have to force the master to give up his rights in the eved and give up all that work that he was going to get from him? Just let the asei be docha lo sasei and let the eved get married as is. So Tosus gives three answers to this question. First of all, he says, "V'yeshlomer d'ha'cha efshel kaim shneim al yedei kfiya." You only say "asei dochalos asei" when there's no way to satisfy both considerations. Over here, you can satisfy both by having the master free him. Number two, "va'od d'chimi akra lav lo mekayim asei el b'gmar biyad d'chazi l'saber." We only say "asei dochalos asei" when the kiyum asei comes at the same exact time as the violation of the los asei. Over here, it doesn't. because at the very beginning of the Bia, you've already violated the Lav. The Kiyum Aseh is only at the Gemar Bia, at the end of the Bia. So you end up violating the Los Aseh before you ever get the Mitzvah Aseh. It's not Be'idna, it's not simultaneous. We don't say Aseh Doch Los Aseh. Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Aleph quotes this Tosfos and points out that Minchas Chinuch famously develops the idea in Mitzvah Aleph that the Mitzvah of Puravu, you're only Mekayim it when you have a boy and a girl. It's not a Kiyum Mitzvah to have Bia. It's not even a Kiyum HaMitzvah to have childbirth. None of those things are a Kiyum HaMitzvah. The Kiyum HaMitzvah is the state of having a son and a daughter. Right? So one is Mekayim the Mitzvah every second that he walks around this earth with a son and a daughter. If he once had a son and a daughter and they die, God forbid, he would then have to have another son and a daughter. He has a new chiyuv. The Kiyum Mitzvah is having a son and a daughter. So he points out that the Lashon of Tosfos doesn't really fit. Tosfos seems to say that it's a Kiyum Mitzvah, that the Mitzvah comes at the Gemar Bia. That's not really when the Mitzvah comes. The Mitzvah comes much, much later. What you have to say is that what Michal Shnuch tries to suggest is that the Bia is a Hechsher Mitzvah, or perhaps put in other terms, the Bia may be the Maisa Mitzvah, but the Kiyum Mitzvah comes much later. The third answer Tosfos has why we don't say Aseh Doch Halos Aseh, V'od de'bidida leka Aseh, da'filu mifkada efshalo b'kiyotziba. For her, there's no mitzvah Aseh over here. Because even if she's commanded in Sheves, even if she's commanded to have children, she can marry some. She's not stuck. She's whoever she is. If she's a shivcha, she can marry an eved. If she's a bas chorin, she can marry a regular ben chorin. She's not somebody who's stuck. So for her, there's no pressing need, and therefore you're not going to be. While it may be his aseh doch halos aseh, why should she take the hit for him? The Marsha asks on this Tosfos, forget about the Aseh of Puruvu then. Okay, take Tosfos' answers. The Aseh of Puruvu doesn't apply. What about the Aseh of Li'olam Ben Tavodu? What are we doing over here? We're taking the master and telling him, you have to free your slave in violation of the mitzvah Aseh. Why? Because the other option, if you don't free the slave, is that he's going to have to violate the law of marrying someone he's not allowed to marry. What do you mean? Why don't we say Aseh Doch Halos Aseh? The concern over the Isser, over the mitzvah Aseh to keep your slave should be Doch Halos Aseh of the slave marrying somebody else. Aseh Doch Halos Aseh. So there are a number of answers that are given by the Achronim that all seem to center around the basic idea that this mitzvah Aseh of freeing a slave is of not freeing a slave is very different than most mitzvahs say in the Torah. Most mitzvahs say in the Torah are active. The Torah says, go take lulav, go put on tefillin. It's kumva aseh. The mitzvah say of lulam bam tavodu is, don't free the slave. But that's a kiyum of a mitzvah aseh. How does that make a difference over here? So the Rashash says, you never find that an aseh that you're mekayim, b'shev v'yaltaseh, is going to push off a los aseh. An aseh doch los aseh is only when it's an aseh that you're mekayim, b'kumva aseh. To put on tefillin, to do mila on a makom of tzaras or something like that, to do a mitzvah, bikum va'aseh, is going to push off a los aseh. But when the mitzvah is done by doing nothing, when the mitzvah is accomplished, the aseh is accomplished by doing nothing, like not freeing a slave, that will never push off a los aseh. Along similar lines, but a little bit different, the Shar Mitzion Balacha quotes from a sefer called Kedushas Yisrael, that with the Gemara Maseches Tzmura says that an aseh is not docha tu lavin. An aseh is docha a single lav, but it's not docha tu lavin. So he says over here as well, Li'olam Bam Tavodu is a one-time thing. Right? You're going to free him? That's a violation of Li'olam Bam Tavodu. But the lo saseh that we're discussing over here, of the eved marrying marrying someone who he's not, the chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, marrying someone who he's not allowed to marry, every single time he has bia with her, it's going to be a violation of the lo saseh. So you're not going to be able to say aseh docha lo saseh over here, because the aseh is a one-time thing. The lo saseh is violated repeatedly. So in this case, aseh will not be docha lo saseh. That needs to be subjected to a little more rigorous analysis. Is the aseh really only violated once? If you keep him? If you keep him, then every second, then the kiyum aseh is done every second. I mean, you're being mekayim in aseh every second you're keeping him, because the aseh is not to free him. The aseh is to keep him. So it's if you free him, a one-time thing to violate the aseh, freeing him would be a one-time violation. So it needs to be thought about a little bit more carefully. Okay, Tosfos has a couple of other issues to deal with. We're not going to have time to really get into them, so let's go a little bit weiter. We'll leave out the rest of the bottom Tosos. If you look on Amud Beis, there are also some very critical Tosos in though. On Amud Beis, Lo Sovra L'Shevet Yitzara, Tosos asks a very obvious question. The Gemara, the Mishnah says, we have a problem. You have a Chatzi Ben Chorin, and he can't marry anybody. And therefore, how is he going to do what? The Pasuk of Lo Sovra L'Shevet Yitzara. Shouldn't we ask, how is he going to do the mitzvah of Pururvu, as the Pasuk says, Pururvu? Shouldn't we quote the Pasuk of Pururvu? Frek Tosos, so says Tosos, Haidlo Naka Krodu Pururvu, Misham Diyavi Yachal Akayim Sheves Koldu, Misham Mitzvah Pururvu, Loav Kafin Alei. Says, go back to what I said in the previous Tosos, that for the mitzvah of Pururvu alone, we never would have forced the master to free the guy. Now, why not? So the Chassam Sofer explains, because we wouldn't force a master so that the tzad cherus of the eved could be mekayim a mitzvah, because the adon has no shaychus with the tzad cherus of the eved. We are only able to force a master to do something for the benefit of the half of the guy that the master owns. And the half that the master owns is the eved half. The eved half doesn't have a mitzvah of pruvu, only has a mitzvah of sheves. So we can only force the master for the part that's shaykh to him. Okay, v'hacha kafinu l'kidi parashnu. Inami Tos says another pshat. Nakatai kramishum demucha demitzvah rabahi. He says the reason why we pick l'sheves is because l'sheves yitzara, the pasuk of l'sa overall l'sheves yitzara, is indicative, shows us, demonstrates to us just how great a mitzvah Pururvu is, how important it is to have children, because it talks of it in such global terms. The world was created for this. Pururvu just says, yeah, this is your responsibility, you have to do it. This pasuk tells us that this is what the purpose of creation is. So we want to pick a pasuk that shows, that demonstrates and that underscores just how critical this really is. A third pshat tells us, as a little bit later on, V'arav Rabbein Yitzchak B'Rabbi Mordechai Mefarish D'Nakat L'Shevet Yitzar Mishum D'Shayach Av B'Tzad Avdus Av Pruvur Lo Shayach Al B'Tzad Cherus. L'Shevet Yitzar relates to the Tzad Avdus of the guy and not only to the Tzad Cherus like Pruvu, which only relates to the Tzad Cherus. I saw a beautiful Ha'ara in Rav Eliyashiv Sefer of Ha'aros on the Sechus Gittin. He quotes from the Sefer Tiferes Yaakov on the Mishnayis that there's a major difference between the mitzvah of Pururvu and the mitzvah of Sheves. The mitzvah of Pururvu is for you to father children, period. The mitzvah of Sheves is a mitzvah to see to it that the world becomes populated. Not necessarily through being a father is one way to see to it that the world becomes populated, but anything you can do to encourage the birth of children, whether it be becoming a doctor who delivers babies, whatever it is, anything you do that encourages the birth of children, that's a kiyum of the mitzvah of Sheves. And based on that, he says, we can understand why do we pick the mitzvah of Sheves over here, not the mitzvah of Pururvu? Because Klapi the Adon, he has no mitzvah of Pururvu. It's the Eved's mitzvah. We're forcing the Adon to free the Eved. So for the Adon, he does have a mitzvah of Sheves over here, because it's also the Adon's mitzvah to see to it that the Eved can have children. I mean, it's not the Adon's mitzvah of Pururvu, he's not going to father the children. It's the Adon's mitzvah of Sheves. And that's what Rav Eliyashiv says. That answers the kasha posed in the next Tosos. The Tosos Dibra Masl Kofinus Rabu says, I don't understand, how can you force the master to violate an issue so that the Eved could do a mitzvah? You tell a person to do an Averis that someone else should be able to get a benefit from it? Why should I do an Averis so he should get a benefit from it? Says Rav Eliyashiv, now it's all good, because it's not so someone else can get the mitzvah. The Adon's getting the mitzvah of Sheves. Then Rav Eliyashiv just says at the end of the Ha'ara, so aside from the Chesed Shebedavar, if a person is involved in Shiduchim, aside for doing a chesed, he's also involved in the mitzvah of the Sheves Yitzara. It's a key mitzvah of the Sheves, not something we often think about when we think about Shiduchim. Tosus in the coming Tosus has other explanations of why it is that we say Chatei Kedei Sheyizka Chavircha in this case, and perhaps because of its status of a mitzvah gedola, it's deserving, or mitzvah de rabim, so it's deserving of even you sinning in order sheyizka chavircha. But what Tosfos suggests in the coming Tosfos is that there's a difference between when your chaver, who you're benefiting through your violation of an iser, was posheya, and he was negligent, put himself in a very bad situation where he's about to violate an iser, and that's where we say, no, don't do an avera to save him. But when he's not posheya, when it's no fault of his own, like in this case, Here's a guy, Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. He didn't put himself in that situation. Well, the other master who was an original partner in him freed him. So now he's stuck. So when he's not Moshea, then we will say, do so, you can even violate an Isser to save him from the predicament that he put, that he finds himself in, to save him from the problem that he finds himself in. The Rashba is the one who says the answer, that the mitzvah of Puravu is such an important mitzvah, it's such a chashuv mitzvah, that for that mitzvah we're going to say chatei kedei she'iska chavircha. Okay, says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Meshachar Chatzi Avdo, if someone is Meshachar half of his slave, let's say it wasn't a case of two partners that owned a slave and one of them was Meshachar. One guy owns a slave, but instead of being Meshachar the entire slave, he's Meshachar half the slave. So is that effective? Rabbi Omer Kanav Chamam Lokan. Rabbi says it works, the Chamam say it does not work. Amar Rabbi Machlokas Peshtar, the Rabbi Savar Vehifta Lo Niftasa, Ochav Lo Nitin La. The Machlokas is only regarding a shtar, if you're Meshachar half a slave via the vehicle of a shtar, because the pasuk says that if she was redeemed but she wasn't redeemed, so it seems like a contradiction in terms. So what we assume the pasuk is saying is that she's half redeemed, that you can have a slave that's half redeemed. Makish shtar lekesef, ma kesef bein kulo bein chetzio. Just like the pasuk, which is clearly talking about kesef, assumes that you can be meshachrer half an eved. Afshtarnami bin kulo bin chetzio. So too with the shtar, you can be meshachar half an eved. V'rabbanan, the rabbanan will respond, no, gamri lo la me'isha, my isha chetzio lo, af evenami chetzio lo. Just like you can't divorce half your wife, so too you can't be meshachar half an eved with a shtar. Aval b'kesef, but when you're using money to be meshachar him, divrei akal kana, p'tuya ve'ina p'tuya. Everyone would agree that works. That's what the pasuk is talking about when the pasuk says, v'avdei lo niftasa, that someone could be partially freed, that could be redeemed and not redeemed. So lema b'hakamifli, maybe the machlokas is as follows. Demar sover hekesh adifa, mar sover gzera shava adifa. One shita holds that it's better to use a hekesh, that the fact that we use the hekesh between shtar and kesef is the overriding drasha to use over here. And the other one says, no, gzera shava is better. Better to compare being meshachar and eved with a shtar to get isha because of a gzeirah shava of la la. So when you have a choice to use a hekesh to teach you in one direction or gzeirah shava in the other, that's the machlokas over here. So says Gemara Lo, the kuli alma gzeirah shava adifa. Everyone agrees a gzeirah shava is stronger than a hekesh. V'shayni hachadika l'mifrach. But over here, the gzeirah shava is a questionable gzeirah shava, because what are we comparing? We're comparing an eved to an isha. Mali isha shkeinen yotzis bekesef tom rabbi shiotza bekesef. You can't get rid of a wife with money. You can only get rid of a wife with shtar. So it's not totally comparable to an eved, who you can get rid of with money. So since the gzera shava has a pircha on it, that's why we're going to go with the hekesh and not the gzera shava over here. The Rishonim deal with the issue. What are you talking about? Tosfos deals with the issue. Wait a second, there are two types of gzera shava. There's gzera shava mufna and gzera shava that's not mufna. If a gzera shava is mufna, the halacha is that ain meshivin. You could find all the flaws you want in the gzera shava, but you can't blow up a gzera shava with whatever kash you have. And if it's not mufna, so forget about the hekesh, then you can always destroy it with a kash. So the gzeirah shava is totally invalid. It's not a real gzeirah shava. So Tosfos suggests that maybe even when it's mufna, and therefore normally you can't destroy it with a kasha, but when there's a hekesh that's waiting to be used, the kasha is enough to tell you don't use the gzeirah shava, use the hekesh instead. Okay, Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yosef says machlokas bekesef. No, the whole machlokas about freeing a half a slave is doing it with kesef. The Rebbe suffer v'avtei lo niftasa p'duya ve'ena p'duya. Rebbe holds that's exactly what the pasuk is telling you, that there's such a thing as freeing half a slave. Rabbanan savri dibritar klasha min adam. The Rabbanan say, no, it's not talking about freeing half a slave. What the pasuk is doing is saying v'avtei lo niftasa regarding pidyon. She hasn't been peduya. She hasn't been freed. But everyone would agree. Even Rabbi would agree that with a shtar, there's absolutely no kinyan. So that you can't free half a slave. It says beferish it's a machlokas Rabbi and the Chacham by using a shtar. So don't you see tiyufta Rav Yosef tiyufta? So it's a tiyufta on Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says not only is it a tiyufta on Rav Yosef based on the fact that Rabbi and the Chacham argue about it, but b'shtar would depligi of because of low pligi, the implication that they argue by is that they argue only by ishtar and not by kesef. So that's an additional tiyufta on Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef held the machlokas was by kesef. So lema tavi tiyufta Rav Yosef betarti. So we should say it's a double tiyufta on Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef will respond. Pligi b'shtar v'uadin b'kasef. No, they granted. You got me on the shtar thing. Obviously, there's a machlokas regarding the shtar, regarding freeing a half an ever with the shtar. But I'll tell you that the machlokas is both. It's not only by shtar. The machlokas is both by shtar and by kasef. Adukam lufki b'shtar lo diach l'kocho d'rebi. The reason it states that machlokas regarding shtar is to tell you how strongly Rebbe holds his opinion. The lufligi b'kasef lo diach l'kocho d'rabban and frek the Gemara. Why don't they tell us the machlokas regarding kasef to underscore how strongly the rabbanon hold their opinion that even when it comes to kasef you're not able to be meshacher chatziyevit even using kesef, which would be a great chiddush l'chumra, says Gemara kochta atera adiflei. No, we always want to go with the kochta atera. Now, this application of kochta atera is highly questionable. Normally, what's the svar for kochta atera? The Rashi Maseches Beit Zadav Beis says the reason why we say kochta atera adiflei, we always want to let us know the heter, is because if I know nothing, I can be machmir myself. I can't be makel myself. Over here, if you're assuming that the Rebbe is the kofta teru, what's Rebbe saying? That you're able to be meshakar chatzi evin. Is that really a heter? When you're able to be meshakar chatzi evin, that causes a chumrah. Now he can't marry anybody. Right? Whereas if you say like the Rabbanan that you cannot be meshakar chatzi evin, then it's really a kula, because you're letting the guy get married. So koch teru adiflei is a little bit difficult over here, because the one who is mekel and says, yeah, it works, you can be meshacher, actually comes out with the bigger chumma that you can't get married. That was the kasha that Rabbi Kiva Eger posed to his son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer, that's recorded in Tshuvas Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer's Marich, to try to be miyashiv that kasha.